Edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media, which has just been going through a wee remodeling. Conveniently, though, just the last couple of days, I've obtained some more contributors for Guerrilla Media. I'd like to welcome Tim Lynch from Green Planet FM, who just interviewed me yesterday on his little radio show. That was quite a nice, lovely thing, and I'm sure you'll all be able to hear that later on in the week. Indeed, what was her name? Evelyn Gilbert, too, from Aotearoa, A Wider Perspective. The guest that we had on last week has also become a contributor to Guerrilla Media, as well as, of course, Claire Swinney from Chemtrails North in New Zealand. Now, articles on Guerrilla Media are just going absolutely out of control, man. Mitch, our somewhat fabulous producer, posted an article here that got something like 5,000-6,000 hits in an hour. I think it's called BP Oil Spill Poisoning America as corrects it, 9,500 dump now happening from 241 tornadoes in 3 days. And just in case any of you are wondering, the whole problem, the real big problem with Corexit 9500 is that when it's in the water, it can be picked up by just a passing storm system and then dumped onto the land. Copious quantities of poison all over the place. Devastating tornadoes rampaged across the communities of the southern United States. Cities and towns from Oklahoma to North Carolina were assaulted by the deadly twisters. The tornado outbreak led to a total of 241 tornado reports in 14 states over the 3-day period, and this will likely rank this tornado outbreak amongst the largest in history. Tragically, the death toll has risen to 39 people so far, with dozens of others injured. The number of fatalities could rise as investigations continues, and the tornado outbreak already ranks as the most deadly outbreak since the 2008 Super Tuesday Twister outbreak. In North Carolina alone, close to 24 people were killed on Saturday, while 7 people were killed in Alabama on Friday. One of the reasons for the deadly outcome of this tornado outbreak is likely due to the high populated areas of the nation that were hit. The weather pattern can explain why these highly populated areas were also struck. Now, I don't know about you, but in times of disaster, it looks like people kind of come together and help each other out. And let's hope that some people in the United States take a lesson from that, because it's time to stick together, people. You know, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. All you got is each other. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. I'll be right back.
We can be more than ever, people.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there. I'm just going to be cracking it open for those of you who are already listening in there at the moment, wondering what the heck I am doing. what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. This big tornado kerfuffle. I was sent a web link by Muad'Dib. Those of you who don't know who Muad'Dib is a it's the pen name of a dude in the UK who made a film called 7/7 Ripple Effect, which, in my opinion, is the definitive expose of the 7/7 false flag terrorism attack. Now, the one thing that he's dealing with at the moment, and I'm trying to get him on the show possibly tomorrow, is he's going to basically going to court. They're trying to arrest him and put him in jail for making a documentary exposing false flag terrorism in the UK, right? That's the law nowadays. If you expose the fact that the law is committing crimes, then you're treated as a criminal. You know, and he was sort of unsure about coming on, about whether or not the comedy aspect of the show would be fitting. And I said, well, you know, I've had people on this show who've had their children kidnapped and they've shed tears of joy after coming on. You know, so, you know, I don't know. For some reason, I'm capable of seeing the lighter side of genocide, no matter how bad it is. You know, I suppose that's probably a quite a valuable skill these days. But he sent me a link to I forget what it was. But anyway, a copious quantities of lists of references to old Bible quotes and stuff like that, saying that it's all in the end times. And, you know, here's some interesting things. Earthquakes in all random places of the earth, you know, obscure locations, you know, Chile, Haiti, New Zealand, Japan, okay, I guess that could qualify. But then again, earthquakes happen all over the place in random places all the time. So that's and this was kind of started me on a thought process. And as I read through all of these different predictions and prophecies, etc., what it appeared to me is just a an extremely general kind of view. That could apply to basically any period throughout history. All right? It says, oh, there's famine and there's pestilence. There's famine and pestilence every frickin' day. You know, there's people starving to death in Africa. There's people dying of, like, man-made AIDS and stuff all over the place. Okay? This is not a sign of the end times. That's a sign of normality. You know? I think that's a crisis and catastrophe and all of that kind of stuff. It's so freaking common that even if the end times did come, it wouldn't appear any different from the regular times. At least, you know, that's a theory on my part. I could be proved wrong in a big swell of pestilence, famine, war, and catastrophe, which, again, happened all the time. And in fact, haven't stopped happening for quite some time, right? Look at, like, the last 2,000 years of history. Can you explain to me at one point in history where people haven't been at war, haven't been starving to death of something, haven't been dying of disease, and the weather hasn't been crap? You know, it's always crap. That's reality, mate. I quite enjoy the fact that everything sucks to a certain extent, because it means, hey, it couldn't get any worse. And even if it could get worse, it wouldn't matter, because it'd probably wind up killing me if it got any worse. So I wouldn't have to deal with it for too much longer. You know, maybe that's just my sick perspective going off on a tangent here. But hey, that's what I think about it. And, you know, if the end of the world does come, and I'm sure that there's copious quantities of people out there who absolutely believe that it is, and, you know, to a certain extent, I'm actually inclined to agree. But the problem is, of course, that if you're preparing for the end times and they don't come, it's a big waste of effort. However, not preparing at all in any way, shape, or form, or attempting to prevent said madness from going on is a bad idea. The other parts of this prediction are the parts that I think that I can do something about. Well, in fact, technically, already am. And this is probably why I suspect a few people have told me that I'm doing God's work. And I don't know, I don't know who God is, or, you know, I've not met the guy, you know, but if I did, he's probably nothing like me. But the problem is, of course, that it comes up with this, ramifications, really, saying that, oh, the entire world's going to be deceived. And it'll be the politicians, the priests, and the leaders, and all of that, that will be deceiving everybody. And in order to prevent the coming apocalypse, what we need to do is expose the truth, right, and get everybody to sort of change direction. Now, this was incidentally on a blog where the guy, and just like every climate change cultist out there, constantly references climate change and, of course, never explains it, never justifies it. And of course, if you ask them the scientific basis upon which climate change is being caused by these so-called toxic, poisonous CO2, which is one of the four building blocks of life, and considering we're carbon-based life forms, I'd be pretty surprised we survive without it. You know, so it's kind of like, oh, well, climate change is going to cause the end of us. Well, here's the other perspective on that. I've made reference to this before. It was J.R. Moore for the Liberty Man. In fact, man, I've got to send him an email and get him on this frickin' show. Because, you know, very interesting. He sent me a DVD, contacted me personally, and mailed me a DVD down here to New Zealand. And, yeah, I watched it, and, yep, almost made me... almost made me freak out. As you do. The whole wild return of Planet X, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know. This is all just, you know, just putting it on the table just so that it's out there, okay? Because I feel better doing it that way. Because that way, it doesn't just become my problem. It becomes everybody's problem, and a shared load is a lighter one, in my opinion. Well, I could be wrong. Maybe it'll just crush everybody under the knowledge of we're all going to die. But anyway, what you're saying is that this whole Planet Nibiru, Planet X thing returning, the return of the Destroyer, as is prophesied in the Bible, it's coming, it's on its way, and it'll be here relatively soon. And the problem that humanity is facing right now is they're being deceived as to the reason why the weather and earthquakes and all of this stuff is all shaken up. And they're trying to parlay it as being global warming. My theory is that the reason why they're trying to parlay it as global warming is because they need a copious quantities of cash to be sucked out of the real economy so that they can build all these underground bases which will sustain the elite and the mega corporations and such like that via carbon taxes. That's a pure speculation on my part, but it sounds exactly like what the elite would do. They'd be like, hey, we're all going to die unless we scam the bejesus out of the entire world with a massive fraud known as global warming and tax every single thing that people do, from breathing to driving a car. Okay? That sounds exactly like the thinking of the elite to me. However, that's not to say that that's exactly the case. Again, just theorizing here. On the other hand, what we have is a theory that, of course, everything to do with this is a complete and total psyop, all right? Those of you who don't know what psyop is, psychological operation to try and coerce people's conformity into some description of manner, whatever it may be. Now, basically, this is my perspective on this. If it is a psyop, and I think it's a very strong possibility that it is, the whole end of the world phenomenon, you know, just... making vague predictions through the Bible, or taking every single world event as some description of prophecy. Okay, now this is a possibility I'm not sure of. But if it is not real, if it is in fact fake, and it's being pushed to make everybody freak out and, you know, kind of retreat inwards and say, oh, we're all going to die, we're all going to get raptured, it's Armageddon, blah, 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 there's nothing you can do, I'm just going to stand down to the New World Order and just, you know, enjoy my time with my family, I'm not going to protest, I'm not going to go out and fight against the tyrannical scumbaggery that seems to consume my nation at every single turn. Right, that would be another great thought process of the elite. You know, just make everybody freaked out about the fact that they're all going to die. And meanwhile, whilst they're freaking out about the fact they're all going to die, you can set up an apparatus to kill them all. You know, that would be what I'd do if I was a psychopath. But conveniently, I'm not. Or at least I hope to deny that I am. Now, over the weekend, this was a great time that we had on United We Strike Radio. There's a 72-hour marathon of radio at UnitedWeStrike.com. And I was joined by Max Egan and James Burns on the radio. And you'll see that's the top story there at guerrillamedia.co.nz. Vinny Eastwood, Max Egan and James Burns on United We Strike. And we had quite a lot of fun. Now, the interesting thing that I find out is that being from New Zealand, for some reason, people really, really like me, you know, just straight off the bat. They're like, man, I love this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, well, great, fantastic. I'm glad that you've judged me in your own personal way to be not terrible. You know, but something tells me, of course, that, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that all the patriots overseas don't want to be alone, right? And they feel constantly like they are. All the American patriots are just like, oh, God, the Brits aren't going to help us. The Aussies aren't going to help. Nobody's going to help us, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden there's this guy from New Zealand. And even though it's very tokenistic, they feel that it's very, very happy. You know, maybe. I'm not sure, okay? But the thing is, I really like them too, right? This is the thing. I think it's more like, if you get to connect with people of like mind on the other side of the world suddenly seems smaller, and it suddenly makes a lot more sense, which is probably beneficial because, well, in general, it's a pretty freaking crazy place, isn't it? Very, very crazy. You know, one can conceive that anybody who understands the world would probably be driven mad via that understanding, right? Because you can't understand an insane place whilst remaining insane, right? And it's all the people that are walking around going nuts today, you know, with megaphones like Charlie Veach and you know, all basically, you know, take your pick, man. There's copious amounts of nuts as truthers out there, and I mean that in a good way. You know, basically going ape at the system. They're not the crazy ones. They're the sane ones. It's the people that have their head down, that are walking around doing absolutely nothing. They're the freaking crazy ones because they've accepted the system, okay? They think it's fine. And like I say, man, if you accept a system that's insane, the only way that you would be capable of understanding it, comprehending it, and going along with it is if you yourself are completely bonkers, okay? That is a self-evident truth, in my opinion, and it's quite dangerous to think otherwise. Working, for example, is something that I find absolutely mad. Because, hey, if you're working and you're actually not accomplishing anything, let's say you're working at McDonald's or something, and the only thing you're accomplishing is shoveling your customers through copious quantities of poison, and you're only doing that so you can earn minimum wage so that you can survive for another week in your crappy little, you know, apartment in some dark basement somewhere, and then, you know, you go out and you spend what little wages that you have left on enough alcohol and weed so that you can survive the weekend and try and blow off a little steam before you have to go back and get the steam in your face again from the frickin' deep fryer. You know, that seems frickin' crazy to me. You know, I couldn't fathom it. I would never, under any circumstances, work at a fast food joint. You know, and interestingly enough, being a New Zealand citizen born and raised here, one thing I find is interesting is when you go to these fast food places in New Zealand, you'll find out that virtually no natural-born New Zealanders work in these places. All immigrants. They're the only people that do it. And my goodness, do they look unhappy. You know, come to New Zealand, the land of opportunity and greasy, crappy food that you get to come in and feed to the obese, burgeoning and ridiculously unhealthy local populace so that you can earn stuff all, give about 33% tax to the government for letting you in this country and then pay more money than your entire life's work is worth in order to sustain some description of existence that, you know, for all intents and purposes, ain't worth it. That's what society has become. It's tried to make people's lives into something that is not worth living. Where is the value system here? What? I don't get it. Well, actually, I do get it. I tell a lie, you know, because, I don't know, you can't understand the system unless you're a psycho to a certain degree, or unless, of course, you understand psychos to a certain degree. And me, I don't know, I've ambushed quite a few of them, and by psychos I mean politicians who never answer a straight effing question, and will essentially, for all intents and purposes, be working full-time at effing the country over. You know, I understand what these people's motivation is. Their motivation isn't the same as a motivation of mine, the desire to do good and justice and things of that nature, you know, to try and benefit the country. One would assume that that's probably what the attention should be of a politician or government official, but the opposite is in fact true. And, you know, you can apply this to any government job. The opposite of your job description is most likely the case. Okay, for example, the Prime Minister, his job is to lead the country as a captain of a ship and to make sure it doesn't crash into a cliff. Therefore, his job is to point the country directly into a cliff and try to sink it as quickly as humanly possible. And considering our Prime Minister is getting us $450 million in debt a week, according to a BNZ spokesperson, he's going to succeed. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide. Join us at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I'll be right back.
I got some so-called friends. Smile right to my face. All when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, that's a Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And on Guerrilla Media, we have quite a lot of very interesting stories to be had. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this article that I've just posted about 20 minutes ago. Greens call for chemtrails to be investigated. By Elias Hazu, published on April the 6th, 2011. The Greens yesterday called for government funding to investigate suspected contamination caused by alleged chemtrails in Cypriot skies. The party have also launched on their website an online petition calling for a proper investigation into the chemtrail phenomenon. Isn't that great? Because in New Zealand, the Green Party says, quote unquote, I'm sure if Claire's listening, she'll agree with me here, we don't have the resources. We don't have the time to investigate every conspiracy theory that comes along. Well, you know, apparently this Green Party does. We demand the government keep its promise and examine the possible consequences to the health and residents and the environment from chemtrails created by aircraft taking off from the British bases in combination with the experimental operation of the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, with the Akrotiri British bases and in Cyprus airspace in general, party head Iona Panayiotou said. The chemtrail theory holds that some trails left by aircraft are actually chemical or biological agents deliberately sprayed at high altitudes for a purpose undisclosed to the general public in clandestine programs directed by government officials. The existence of chemtrails has been repeatedly denied by government agencies and scientists around the world who say the trails are normal contrails or condensation trails made by the exhaust of aircraft engines. And indeed, when you actually show somebody, you know, even if they're standing right there, and there's a chemtrail up above them, and a plane laying a contrail at the same time. You see the contrail ending, like, you know, a couple of plane lengths behind the plane going through the air, and you see the other chemtrail that doesn't end. And they go, oh, no, they're both contrails. They're both contrails. Even though they look completely freaking different and have virtually nothing in common. You know? The only thing that happens in common is that they're in the air. You know? Clouds don't look anything like chemtrails. I have never, ever seen a cloud that looks like a perfect cylinder shape stretching across the atmosphere, unmoving for hours. It doesn't happen. It's not a natural phenomenon. And there's a rudimentary retards. I don't know. It's like, have you ever seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, where they talked about how if you are completely unaware of the existence of something, you will actually be therefore incapable of seeing it, even if you're looking right at it. Okay, and this was supposedly coming off a story of Caribbean tribes people who were looking at the visiting ships of Christopher Columbus and all of that kind of stuff, and they couldn't see the ships. They literally couldn't. They were right there in front of them, and they couldn't see them. Okay, until the shaman of the tribe told them all what a ship was and allowed them then to see it. Okay. Now, that's basically, I think, an interesting phenomenon to take into account when you're dealing with politicians, is because even if you show them something that's true, proven, documented fact, they will not be capable of seeing it because they're too retarded. The Greens said the government made a commitment to the House Environment Committee in March 2009 to conduct an in-depth study of these accusations. A bi-ministerial technical committee was subsequently formed for this purpose. The technical committee, the Greens added, dissolved mysteriously after only a few sessions. We demanded that the government adopts our proposal to finance an independent study that takes samples and chemically analyze the substances included in these chemical trails. Campaign Against Chemtrails, Yanos Alexandro, said observations of high-altitude aircraft in Cypriot skies, leaving the characteristic trails, were on the rise. And, you know, isn't it interesting how it mostly happens in NATO states? Mm-hmm. But it also seems to be happening all over the world. I believe even in Argentina, Chile, they've had chemtrails, you know. Leave Chile! Leave Chile! I love that video. I'm just making a random reference there. You've got to actually go on YouTube and see this. This is funny. David Rockefeller, leave Chile. I think it should probably yield the nice search result. Classic, bro. Rockefeller in a tiny little wheelchair being cruised down, and this Chilean guy just, you know, yelling at him and screaming at him. God, it was awesome. Research director at Greece's National Center of Scientific Research, chemist Nikolaos Katsaros, said soil samples taken in Greece showed traces of aluminum, barium substances that are neurotoxic to humans and poison the food chain. The whole idea of poisoning the food chain is to make you sick, okay? It should be pretty obvious. And if you don't think the food chain's poisoned already, then the poisons are working. They are the new weapons of mass destruction. Katsaros ascribes to the theory, one of a multitude, that chemtrails are being used for covert climate control. According to this theory, and it's not a theory, by the way, I think it was like the geoengineering conferences have said, yes, we are chemtrailing, and yes, it's to save the environment, and yes, it's specifically to do with deflecting sunlight to save us from fake global warming. Chemtrails contain metal particles which reflect sunlight away from the Earth to combat global warming, he said. In October last year, Cyprus was represented at the Nagoya Conference in Japan with 193-member UN Convention on Biological Diversity. And this is the convention that basically tells everybody that you can't live in rural areas anymore and you have to basically be popped into smart growth cells, slave blocks type cities. and the rest of you will be quietly exterminated. And they passed a resolution calling for a moratorium on geoengineering projects and experiments. And it's all part of the Convention on Biological Diversity, I'd probably say, but I don't know that for sure because I haven't researched it. The resolution called for a halt to any private or public experimentation intended to manipulate the planetary thermostat. Now, the danger of messing with the planet is basically too dangerous to even consider. Speaking of dangerous things to consider, protesting at the royal wedding. I just watched a video by Charlie Veach, my good friend, this morning. Royal wedding disruption spectacular. Some thoughts on the happy day. So for those of you who are planning to protest, bear in mind that the authorities have been given extra power. Some might even say godlike power. To basically arrest and detain anybody they want who wants to disrupt the proceedings. And my hope is that a lot of people will come to disrupt the wedding anyway. These blue blood scum, and let's just be operative here, don't deserve a happy day, okay? They have a happy day every day as they live and leech off us, the plebs, so that they can go to fabulous parties and snort copious amounts of cocaine through banknotes that have their own images on them. You know, one thing about the royals that really kind of annoys me is the fact that everybody thinks that they're very, very nice and lovely people. You know? They're not. They're eugenicists. Actually say that they want to, you know, one guy in fact says he wants to come back, if he dies, to come back as a deadly virus to contribute something towards solving overpopulation. Okay? These people are eugenicists. Nazi science. In fact, the king... In the 40s, I believe it was, King George or whatever his name was, I forget if that was his exact name, but anyway, he had to step down and abdicate his powers because of his public vocal support for Hitler. And a leopard does not change its spots, nor does a monarchy. These are the most evil, filthy, disgusting scum that have existed for quite some time. And if you think that I'd just sit back and just go, oh, well, you know, leave them alone on their wedding day. All they're trying to do is produce and conceive the Antichrist, Vinny, you know. Don't... you know, and that's the thing. We've really got to just take the mickey out of these people. All right, they've been leeching off us since forever, and they got no authority whatsoever over the rest of us. They're a bunch of inbred, filthy swine, and who cares whether or not they have a happy day or not, okay? If anything, we should care that their day is ruined. And in fact, we should probably be making every conceivable effort to ensure that that is the case, just to let them know, when they're vulnerable, that we aren't going to take it anymore, okay? This is the thing. If you allow yourself to be pushed around, if you allow your society to be manipulated and controlled by pathetic inbred scumbags, then you deserve the government you get. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I think you deserve better than a bunch of blue blood inbred swine to rule you. In fact, I don't think that you need to be ruled at all. I think you can be your own sovereign, self-determining being, and nobody else should be able to control you or end your life without due process. And unfortunately, due process in this day and age seems to be a dwindling phenomenon, as after all, more laws get passed on a daily basis to subvert that particular process. And unfortunately, we live in a society now that is so dumbed down, so frightened of authority, that they will not stand up against them even if they're being beaten over the head for no reason. And New Zealand, this is, and I was told this yesterday by a good friend of mine, New Zealand's part of this whole New World Order system as well. Apparently, the editor of the New Zealand Herald, about 10, 15, 20 years ago or so, attended a Bilderberg group meeting. And they were told, you know, they got this free holiday to Greece and, you know, free beds and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they were told, don't report on anything that, you know, is the truth, you know, like freeing humanity, empowering people, et cetera, et cetera. And instead, report on disaster. Report on crime. Report on disease. Report on bad weather. Report on political scandals. Something to distract the people from realizing their own potential. Now, that doesn't sound like a great thing to me, does it? You know? I would think that the direct opposite should be the job of the media. Well, so therefore, if the media is doing the exact opposite of the job that they should be doing, then it's no great surprise, of course, that society's totally screwed up, you know? I wonder at what point people kind of think to themselves, I'm going to stop reading this newspaper now, you know? I'm going to stop caring what these people have got to say, you know? I'm going to stop looking at the television for a half hour a night to get my information. Instead, I'm going to find some credible news sources. I'm going to find some commentators that think like I do. I'm going to find somebody preferably with lower production value. Oh, and speaking of low production value, the mainstream media is in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Big article in the paper yesterday saying that traditional broadcast for profit model television is in deep financial trouble. And that made me smile quite widely, I must say, because it just confirms what I already know. That people don't care about what they've got to say anymore because it's all BS. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous fluoridated F-head city of Auckland, New Zealand. Now, we have a caller on the line, and I suppose, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in today, I have no guests, so if you want to join me and have a good laugh or whatever, you're more than welcome. So on the line here, we have Tom from San Antonio. 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. Tom from San Antonio, you're on the air.
Hey, Vinny, how you doing? I can't hear your show today. I can't get it on the internet. Has anybody else had this problem?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have glitches and stuff like that. They're pretty much a constant every now and again. You know, everybody's got problems and, mate.
I listen to American Freedom Radio almost all day because I'm disabled. And I lay here on my bed and listen to the radio. I haven't noticed, you know, this problem, heard anybody say anything about this problem or whatever. But I can't connect to American Freedom Radio at all. My real player won't. I just wondered if anybody else had this problem, too, if it's just exclusively me. Maybe it's my computer. I don't know.
Well, you know what somebody told me is that there's been a lot of people's computers and technology failing all over the place. I mean, just last week, or was it the week before, my producer's iMac blew up. And a friend of us down south in New Zealand knows about, like, eight people in America whose iMacs also blew up, right?
Really?
At the same time. And we were like, what the heck is going on, man?
You're supposed to drink your fluoride and be a good fluoride head. I'm the guy that gave you the term fluoride head. Remember? I'm San Antonio Tom. Yeah, listen to me every day, man. You cheer me up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're the one who gets depressed in the mornings with Alex Jones and then laughs it off in the afternoon with Vinny. Yeah. I actually made that my tagline, Tom. Whenever somebody subscribes to me on YouTube, I put that quote on their YouTube channel, you know, just as a channel comment.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be done, eh? And everybody comes up with pretty amazing stuff. It's a cool sort of eclectic mix.
Well, I hope that whatever's wrong with this connection, maybe I'll just, I tried even rebooting and shutting the computer off and stuff like that. Yeah, I can't get it. I don't want to listen to Alex Jones again. I already hear him for 2 hours today. So I want to listen to you, but I just wondered if anybody else called in and said they had a problem. I didn't know if the FCC was, effing around or something,
Oh, well, that's what the FCC always do anyway, but regardless or not, I haven't had any other guests complaining about the audio stream, but thanks for your call, Tom. I'm just going to pop you back on mute so you can continue to listen in if that's cool with you, bro.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. You take care. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tom. All right. Now, I was wondering... We have this another thing, the secret presidential chemtrail budget, and this relates to the article that we saw with the Greens and me, uncovered to spray populace like roaches. This has been posted on guerrillamedia.co.nz. Geoengineering has now been defined as, quote, the deliberate large-scale manipulation of the planetary environment to counteract anthropogenic climate change, right? So you do a dangerous thing to counteract a fake thing. Recently, the question has been asked, what in the world are they spraying? The documentary with the same answers, many of those questions. The question is, now, who in the world is spraying us? As an introduction to this article, we'll first cover some information to familiarise the uninformed. Some core facts and such. Recent report by CBS Atlanta detailed how some local citizens are outraged that such crimes against humanity are being carried out right before our eyes in secret. And in the report, Senator Johnny Isaacson was interviewed on the subject of chemtrails, saying, quote, it is a theory that some people have, but there is no evidence this is happening. This is not happening. Now, I remember when we had Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network on last week, and he said, I was kind of made the point that when somebody says that there's no evidence, the likelihood is that they're just lying because they've never looked for any and never bothered. And this is the thing. On what in the world are they spraying? Perfect example. They walk right up to these Congress critters, show them the frickin' documents, ask them to read them, ask them what they know about it. They don't know nothing. And they didn't want to know anything either. They just kept on walking, When Cynthia McKinney became a congresswoman, she was working all the time. Always reading, always writing, always speaking, She'd barely get 2 moments for herself. Being a responsible member of Congress is not an easy job. But what she was surprised about was how few congresspeople acted in the same way as her. All the rest of them were out partying all the time, going to these free luncheons, getting copious quantities of cash donated to them by lobbyists, and otherwise just having a right old good time. That's why most of the bills in Congress that pass through never get read, because not only are they too long and you don't even have enough time to read them anyway, but You're being paid to support them regardless. So in actual fact, it's protective of yourself if you don't read them. If you don't know your crimes against humanity, it's much, much more difficult for people to pin you on them. It's like, hey, you voted on this bill, blah, 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 and it's got this bit here that's real tyrannical. Do you know about that? And you go, no, I didn't know about that. I'm going to go away now. Thank you very much for your time, sir. Oh, the arrogance. Maybe we're living in a world now, we are. We are living in a world now where the ignorant, the stupid, and the arrogant wind up getting themselves into positions of power because they're the least honest. You know? If you're honest and hardworking and decent, it actually requires a lot of effort to get a promotion. But if you're a lying, filthy scumbag, it's a piece of cake because there's always somebody willing to buy you off. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting hour of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It looks as if members of the government's upper echelon and even members of the Senate will go to extreme lengths to suppress vital information about chemtrails from reaching the American people, not to mention they signed off multi-billion-dollar-per-year budgets in an economic crisis with little to no transparency to the public. In regards to aerosol spraying in the Earth's atmosphere, a recent update to data assembled by the Carnicom Institute reveals that the chemicals used and their respective levels of concentration. The toxic levels that are being used in these aerosols goes beyond shocking, and it would appear that these levels are indeed criminal by EPA standards, as if the criminal element of the EPA isn't in control of the whole place anyway. You know, I'm just kind of really concerned about this. You know, it reminds me of on 9/11 when the dust was everywhere, and the reason why the towers contained so much asbestos. Oh, sorry. Let me start again. The EPA said that the air was safe to breathe around the Twin Towers, knowing full well that the Twin Towers were full to the brim with asbestos. Okay? That's it. And now, pretty much every first responder is sick as a dog. Many of them are dying. And I'm sure in a few years' time, there won't be any first responders left. So we're all sick and died. And, of course, the United States government and various other scumbags don't actually care. You know? They're not actually trying to help at all. They're just saying, oh, well, you're all going to die. Too bad for you. There's this, this classic phrase in the United States now. It's called sucks to be you. As if we're all different. As if we're not connected. As if we're not part of the same frickin' species. You know, that's something that really, really disturbs me about the mind of sociopaths that are in control of the country and governments and corporations and all of that, is because they have so much influence, so much power, and it rubs off on everybody else. You know, they're like a chalkboard with an evil chalk stick. You know, and it will leave a mark on you. It leaves a mark on your society, leaves a mark on your consciousness. And at the moment, you know, there's so many violent video games and violent movies that, hey, when you close your eyes at night, you're more likely to dream a nightmare than a really nice little dream. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. I'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I've got to read this article, man. This cracks me up. Oh, in fact, I even have to take my jacket off to read this because it just heats me up because it's so funny. Peter Joseph quits Zeitgeist movement. I can't breathe. This cult is in for some serious bashing in the public arena, and this is just the start of it. Peter Joseph officially quit his Zeitgeist movement and the Venus Project. Peter was obviously crying when he wrote this comment. Apparently, he is sad that his cult leader status was checked by Jacques Fresco. I'm sure the spokesman, Neil of VTV, or the bigger/panhandler, Kiernan, is also sad because his primary source of income, the cult, is shaking at the foundations today. It makes it apparently clear that this cult's days are coming to an end. Now, that's an opinion piece, and I don't entirely subscribe to it. I mean, I've got friends in the Zeitgeist movement, and they're very good people. However, I once unwittingly became involved in a cult, and it doesn't seem that it was run entirely differently from the Zeitgeist movement. So I also understand what they're talking about. So this is what Peter said. So, in consideration of this with respect to Jacques, I will no longer be actively publicly representing the Zeitgeist movement or the Venus Project. I could address his hasty statements directly, but I'm not going to do that to myself, as it's simply sad. This falls on the heels of a level of personal exhaustion and general life frustration which requires personal time anyway. I will continue to orient a radio show, rotation of new speakers, content and help with event days and many other project-based issues in the background. I will also continue to personally finance the global movement's work. But I want everyone to know that I am removing myself as a forefront spokesman, a figure I never wanted to be, in fact, a position which has negatively affected my personal and mental health a great deal, to be frank. So, this is good grounds to see how many out there can lift themselves to high levels of communication. I've also informed the Venus Project that all major press will be turned over to them so that they can make sure their message is accurate, as apparently mine isn't. At the end of the day, let it be known that I don't care about the Zeitgeist movement or the Venus Project or Jacques Fresco or Peter Joseph as entities to be perpetuated. I care about a new working social system only, and I will not stop with that pursuit in the long run. Peter. Right. So I'm wondering, has anybody actually heard about this? What did Jacques Fresco say to make Peter Joseph quit his own frickin' movement? What did he say? Did he just say, oh, it's a cult or something? Can somebody Google that to me and send me a link in the chat room? That would be really nice, because I really want to read that out on air and find out what the heck is going on. But, you know, I don't know. Moving on. I've been contacted recently by Dr. Judy Wood, a.k.a. Marvin the Martian, and I say that affectionately, of course, an important book for understanding what did and did not happen on 9/11. This was written by Eric Larson. Where did the towers go? Evidence of directed free energy technology on 9/11 by Dr. Judy Wood, BS, MS, and PhD. The new investigation of 2010. What a complete unmitigated disaster 9/11 and the 10 awful years following it have been. 10 years of murder, crime, lawlessness, deceit, stupidity and blindness that are now only meliorated at long last by the publication of Dr. Judy Wood's unique, revolutionary and unequivocally welcome book, Where Did the Towers Go? The Evidence of Free Energy Technology on 9/11. And he goes on to say, allow me to make full disclosure now so that those... And believe me, there are many who will choose not to read further can quit right away and save time. And I think that's exactly true. Yeah, you show this book to anybody in the 9/11 truth movement, and they'll just go, "Oh, that's crazy! That's space beam stuff," you know. And of course, they won't look at any of the evidence. You know, 9/11 truthers won't look at evidence. Isn't that interesting? You know, and this gives rise to speculation that a lot of 9/11 truthers are, in fact, controlled opposition. But, of course, that's still speculation on my part. After all, COINTELPRO is very difficult to prove these days, but it's very easy to spot if you know what you're looking for. Me, Eric Larson, wrote the foreword to Dr. Wood's book. I wrote it partly because I've known for many years about Dr. Wood's research, partly because I've followed the website that she's maintained, drjudywood.com, and partly because I was lucky enough to be given the opportunity to write that foreword. It wasn't just an opportunity, but a high honour to give an idea of how great an honour it was. Here is the first line that I wrote. The book you now hold in your hands is the most important book of the 21st century. Yeah. Well, it's the thing. There hasn't been a real investigation of 9/11. Dr. Judy Wood claims that she has, in fact, done the research. All of the scientific notes, references, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and all of this kind of stuff. Pretty amazing. He says, let me go further and quote the two sentences also, since the same obligation pertains, as did when I wrote them, the obligation for me to explain why I said so unqualified a thing and what I meant by it. Here's what I meant and still do. Where Did the Towers Go is a work, assuming that its content and message are properly and fairly heeded, that offers a starting point from which those who genuinely want to do it and can begin, first, to rein in and then perhaps even end the wanton criminality and destructiveness of a set of American policies that took as their justification and starting point the horrific events of September 11, 2001. As everybody knows, 9/11 has been the justification and starting point for all manner of destruction, loss, crime, and horror. Without 9/11, there would have been no Patriot Act, no abuse of FISA, and stripping away of privacy rights, no Military Commissions Act of 2006, with its setting aside of habeas corpus, no implementation of NORTHCOM, and deployment of our own military forces on domestic American soil. be used against who, you might ask, and no trashing of Bill of Rights and constitutional guarantees, no programmatic and precedent-setting weakening and eliminating of right and guarantees, so that the very concepts of citizenship and freedom have been emptied out to the point where setting up a concentration camps inside the US is now legal, and not a one of us would have any recourse whatsoever if it were decided that we should be thrown into a cell in one of them and forgotten forever. And this is a very good plan. If you are a danger to the government, and by a danger to the government, I mean you're somebody who's knows what the government's actually up to and threatens their agenda from going on unimpeded, they have a very special place for you. And in fact, I was just... I was sent a bunch of T-shirts. Thanks, Harv, by the way. I just got that box you sent me. Freaking awesome. Harv sent me a whole bunch of T-shirts with yellow ones, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Sent me about four of those and a little another one that says FEMA security on it. FEMA camp security. That was just great. It cracked me up to no end. Because, hey, extermination's freaking hilarious, isn't it? Or it is to me anyway, is possibly because I've got one of the sickest sense of humours in talk radio. Now, moving on from the subject of 9/11 and the endless justification of locking us up for absolutely no freaking reason and taking us down or whatever... I think it's like, well, I don't know. Supposedly there's somebody, Chris, that wants to speak to me. I'm not sure. Chris, if you want to call in, 402-237-2525 is the number to call in. You can just give me a bell, and we'll pick you up in the next segment, most likely. Now, one thing that is really, kind of perplexing me at the moment is that, like the Japanese scenario, mate. Okay, this is a big bad baby, and just like 9/11, I'm pretty sure it'll be used to justify all sorts of things. All right, headline here: 9 months to fix nuclear plant. 9 months. You know what are they trying to do? Give birth to a nuclear holocaust? You're going to make sure that puppy freaking gestates as nicely as humanly freaking possible. You know what I'm saying? It's oh my god, it's rough. It's very, very rough out there. Something tells me that the people that are supposed to know about, you know, how to fix power plants and all that kind of stuff don't know what the heck they're doing. You know, which is probably why they built it on a fault line on a beach. It will take up to 9 months to bring the damaged nuclear power plant in northeastern Japan under control. Its power, its owner says, Tokyo Electric Power or TEPCO said it will carry out the work in two stages to overcome the crisis at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. The industry minister, how the heck are they going to clean it up? They seriously. 9 months of exposure, every single worker who works there is going to die. Every single one. I think it's something like, you know, 5 hours of exposure with the crap next to that nuclear power plant is enough to kill you, let alone the 100-plus kilometers of completely contaminated surrounds that you have to drive through in order to get there in the first place. You know, you can't get there without having your lifetime's dose of radiation. Let alone work there for 9 freaking months. And that's just my opinion as a non-educated in the art of nuclear physics person. You know, it's more like I want to err on the side of caution. Do I want to die of radiation poisoning by going and working at a broken nuclear power plant that is currently contaminating the entire world with thousands upon thousands of spent fuel rods and weapons-grade plutonium, etc., etc.? No, thank you. The Industry Ministry's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency rated the disaster at level 7. The same severity as the 1986 Chernobyl disaster, the world's worst nuclear accident. And of course, that's going to be upgraded soon to level 7 million. The first stage of reducing radiation levels steadily will take about 3 months, and the second stage of managing radioactive material releases and substantially reducing radiation levels will take an additional 3 to 6 months. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, something with a half-life of like 10,000 years or something will only take about 3 to 6 months to get off. You know, do the maths. Whitewash, cover up. It's exactly the same thing that they did at frickin' Chernobyl. And they told people, yeah, it's safe to just plant your crops. It's safe to just, you know, breed endlessly or whatever and have copious quantities of deformed children. You know, that's what these people don't care. They just don't want to frickin' panic. And they don't want everybody to blame them for being such frickin' retards for building it on a fault line and a beach. As I've said many, many times before, and the insanity still doesn't sink in. You know, I qualify myself as on occasion being capable of understanding in the insane, you know, the madness or whatever, you know, or at the very least accepting it. But this just baffles the mind, you know. I don't care how much you're being paid. If you tell people that this is perfectly safe, perfectly okay, and there's basically nothing wrong, you are a degenerate frickin' scumbag. You are evil, and you are causing mass death. Period. I don't care how much money you're getting paid to lie to the public in such a way, okay? Because that money ain't gonna save you, and it ain't gonna save any copious quantities of other people that are currently contaminated and will wind up being a global dance party where everybody glows in the dark. You know? This is... just drives me absolutely insane. To successfully complete this, the first stage, it's extremely important not to cause any hydrogen explosion at the number 1 to number 3 reactors and not to let some of the 20,000 tons of radioactive water at the number 2 reactor seep from the plant, the company said. But of course, they dumped 100 tons of it into the sea, and then they tested the seawater for radiation levels, and it was 7.1 million times worse than normal. And say, oh, well. And I saw this guy on the news. He said, well, thank goodness all the radiation's being blown out to sea. Thank goodness it's being blown out to sea and contaminating the whole freaking world. It's like, oh, this is way better than Chernobyl, he says. Yeah, way better than Chernobyl if you're a freaking eugenicist who wants to just watch everybody die of deformed children and whatnot, you know. Oh, and in fact, this goes back to what I was talking about in the end, at the start of the show with, what was it called? With those signs of the end times. There was one thing that really stuck out at me is that mothers will begin to give birth to monsters. And I thought, hey, don't incredibly deformed children from radiation look a little bit monstrous to you? Very interesting. The end of an empire is what we're really facing here. And Japan's deadly game of nuclear roulette, basically, they're just killing the entire world. Of all places in all the world, there would be no one in their right mind who would build scores of nuclear power plants. Okay, and Japan would be pretty near the top of the list. The Japanese archipelago is located on the so-called Pacific Rim of Fire, a large, active volcanic and tectonic zone ringing North and South America, Asia, and island arcs in Southeast Asia. The major earthquakes and active volcanoes occurring there are caused by the westward movement of the Pacific tectonic plate and other plates leading to subduction under Asia. Japan sits on top of 4 tectonic plates at the edge of the subduction zone, as in one of the most tectonically active regions of the world. It was extreme pressures and temperatures resulting from the violent plate movements beneath the seafloor that created the beautiful islands and volcanoes of Japan. And, I've been hearing a little bit of other stuff. Submarines, apparently, this is just, you know, something I've heard, I haven't confirmed it, submarines are now being used to trigger earthquakes off the coast of countries. Apparently, there were reports of 4 U.S. submarine vessels off the coast of Christchurch before the Christchurch quake. And, again... same thing, same story on the edge of Japan. Makes me suspicious, but I need to confirm those sources and get back to you on that. Because hey, if you're gonna outright say that these earthquakes were man-made, you best have some frickin' evidence. And quite frankly, I don't have it as yet. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Back in a moment.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back. Black sunrise. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Continuing on with Japan's deadly nuclear game of roulette, like many countries around the world, where General Electric and Westinghouse designs are used in 85% of all commercial reactors, Japan has turned to nuclear power as a major energy source. In fact, the three top nuclear energy countries are the United States, where the existence of 118 reactors was acknowledged by the Department of Energy in 2000, France with 72, and Japan, where 52 active reactors were cited in a December 2003 cabinet white paper. The 52 reactors, hey, one for every week of the end of the world. The 52 reactors in Japan, which generate a little over 30% of its electricity, are located in an area the size of California, many within 150 kilometers of each other, and almost all built along the coast where seawater is available to cool them. I will say that again. They were almost all built along the coast. In a place where tsunamis are legendary, they build the most dangerous type of thing in the world on the frickin' beach. Come on, man. Ugh, it's retarded. You know, they're either freaking retarded or they're just so arrogantly psychotic that they think they can justify doing this kind of crap, man. However, many of those reactors have been negligently sighted on active faults, particularly in the subduction zone along the Pacific coast, where major earthquakes of magnitude 7 to 8 or more on the Richter scale occur frequently. The periodicity of major earthquakes in Japan is less than 10 years. So, you know, every decade or so, you have a possibility of destroying the world. Oh, my goodness. You know, if I wasn't laughing so hard, my goodness, I'd be freaking out. I'd be running around like a mad hatter. It'd be crazy as, scary as. Oh, goodness gracious me. It'd be so terrible, so funky, and so horrific. You just can't believe it. I think the situation now is very scary, said Katsuhiko Ishibashi. And he's not being wishy-washy about it, this Ishibashi, a seismologist and professor at Kobe University. It's like a kamikaze terrorist wrapped in bombs just waiting to explode. And I heard an interesting story about kamikaze, and this is incidentally a nice little digression here. Apparently, back in World War II, when, you know, they were fighting the Americans and all of that, the Japanese were outnumbered and all of that kind of jazz, they invented methamphetamine. So that their pilots could stay awake for long periods of time without needing to rest. And incidentally, the best thing about being on crystal meth is it's only about 12 more sleeps till Christmas. But incidentally, one of the things that happens when you take copious amounts of crystal meth, apparently, and I haven't taken copious amounts of crystal meth before, so I can't tell you to be sure, is that you go absolutely freaking bonkers, you know? And just recently, in fact, I think it was yesterday, a man in New Zealand was sentenced to 20 years in prison for and I think he's got something like 400 convictions or something along those lines, a lot for sexual assault, rape, and attempted murder. And this time he hit the big time. He tried to rape two women in a day and the first one managed to fight him off, and the second one didn't and died as a result of him murdering her, right? And the only thing that he was doing all day long, you guessed it, injecting crystal meth. It makes you into a freaking psychopath. And so incidentally, when all these kamikaze pilots were loaded up on crystal meth, being told that there was their service to die for the emperor, yeah, you find out that they went nuts and started flying into ships. For the emperor! You know, that's the thing. And I wonder what's going to happen to the emperor and the empire of Japan nowadays. Now that's going to be turned into some freaking dead zone. But of course, they're not going to call it a dead zone. They're going to call it a public reserve, you know, or a national park. Yeah, that sounds much nicer, doesn't it? Now, there's almost no geologic setting in the world more dangerous for nuclear power than Japan, the third-ranked country in the world for nuclear reactors, right? I think the situation right now is very scary, he said. And last summer, he visited this dude, Katsuhiko Ishibashi. Last summer, visited Hamaoka nuclear power plant in Shizuoka Prefecture at the request of citizens concerned about the danger of a major earthquake. I spoke about my findings at the press conferences afterwards. Because Hamaoka sits directly over the subduction zone near the junction of two plates and is overdue for a major earthquake, it is considered to be the most dangerous nuclear power plant in Japan. Together with local citizens, I spent the day walking around the facility, collecting rocks, studying the soft sediments it sits on, and tracing the nearly vertical faults through the area, evidence of violent tectonic movements. The next day, I was surprised to see so many reporters attending the two press conferences held at Kakigawa City Hall and Shizuoka Prefecture Hall. When I asked the reporters why they had come so far from Tokyo to hear an American geoscientist, I was told it was because no foreigner had ever come to tell them how dangerous Japan's nuclear power plants are. That's very concerning, don't you think? But totally unsurprising. Whenever the government does something wrong, and this translates against every government, of course, or does something dangerous, they don't warn the public. If they were to warn the public would get effed off with them and say, hey, stop doing what you're doing. And then the government would go, oh, damn, we can't do anything now, because it means we'd have to actually be transparent and tell people the truth, and then we wouldn't be able to, proceed with all of our random, completely and utterly insane plans. This guy told them that this was the power of gaiatsu, or foreign pressure. And because citizens in the United States with similar concerns attract little media attention, we invite a Japanese person to speak for us when we want media coverage. Someone like the famous seismologist, Professor Ishibashi. When the geologic evidence was presented confirming the extreme danger at Hamaoka, the attending media were obviously shocked. The aerial map filed by Chubu Electric Company, along with its government application to build and operate the plant, showed major faults going through Hamaoka and revealed that the company recognized the danger of an earthquake. They had carefully placed each reactor between major fault lines. The structure of the nuclear plant are directly rooted in the rock bed and can tolerate a quake of magnitude 8.5 on the Richter scale, the utility claimed on its website. And, of course, the 9.1 earthquake that hit Japan, as is always happens, I mean, you can't prepare against nature, can you? But, of course, that's assuming that the quakes were natural, and I highly suspect that they weren't. But the structures of these power plants, regardless of how strong and sturdy they are or whatever, oh, we can tolerate an 8.5 earthquake, it's going to be no problem. Well, what if an 8.6 hits you, numbnuts? You know, contingency plans, people!
When you've got a nuclear frickin' disaster, there are no contingency plans. You're screwed. You're dead. Your whole country is effed. Okay? Doesn't matter how good your foundations are. Because all the... Oh, God. Such retarded people. Honestly. Now, I would stress, of course, that, you know, people shouldn't be freaked out about this. Well, no, actually, scratch that. Yes, you should be. You know, I can't wait until people start running around waving their arms in the air and screaming, oh, crap, we're going to die of radiation. You know, I don't know. Maybe I've just got some kind of sick fascination imprinted on me from years and years of watching disaster movies. You know what I'm saying? It's almost as if I love the idea of disaster and I find it as if it's some description of entertainment. And maybe I'm not alone in that. Maybe a lot of other people certainly like the idea of the end of the world, and which is why movies like 2012 and Zombieland or whatever the heck involving the end of life as we know it wind up becoming so popular. And have you noticed, long ago, all these movies about the end of the world started popping up out of nowhere. You know? Heaps of them. Lots of them. You know, just in my DVD wallet alone, I think there must be about maybe 20 movies that involve the end of the world. You know, all within the last decade. What are they preparing us for? Every time a movie comes out, it's usually some description of I don't know, preconditioning to make people accept other stuff that's coming along. Either that or some description of just psyop to make you freaked out just a little bit, you know? And Avatar's prime example of that, because apparently a lot of people were really ticked off with James Cameron for making that film, you know, talking about, oh, the Earth Mother and this kind of, pagan jungle society, the with the Na'vi and all of that kind of jazz. And it sort of really spoke to me in a lot of ways. You know, it felt like a very anti-New World Order movie. It felt like a very anti-corporate, anti-mining movie to me. And now what we've got in New Zealand is we've got the government saying, oh, well, seeing as the Pike River mine blew up, and apparently this is an allegation that I've heard, and for those of you in the New Zealand audience, you know, don't hate me for saying this. I'm just reporting what I've heard. I don't know for sure. But apparently, the mining company at Pike River was in deep. Pardon the pun here. It was in a deep hole, financially speaking. And they laxed their security protocols so that the mine would inevitably blow up. Once it did blow up, then they could collect their insurance and bail themselves out of the big financial hole that they were in. Okay? Simultaneously, do they bail out the Pike River Mining Company and all its financiers, but also it gives the government justification to do something which the New Zealand public would never tolerate and indeed had a record protest to be against. Mining in New Zealand, national parks via open cast methods. Now, I don't know if anybody else really knows this, but New Zealand's got really, really nice looking national parks, okay? They are a national asset, all right? However, they don't produce copious quantities of money unless, of course, you mine them. Now, so there's an argument for this. And there's an argument against it as well. Personally, I'm not sure which side of the fence I sit on, because if they are going to mine our national parks, and I have no doubt that they're going to try to, just because the bankers are telling our government this is what you have to do, we have to steal all your resources, just like the World Bank and IMF is due to Africa and other third world nations, they're now going to do this to us. They're going to hijack, steal our resources. And this is the same thing with the oil drilling that's being planned out in New Zealand waters, because, you know, and this is my disagreement, I wouldn't actually have anything against them drilling for oil or mining the national parks if
they weren't New World Order-owned companies. If they were actually done by the government and all the profits went back to the people, that would be a system that I would tolerate and indeed support. I would actually argue with a greenie about the merits of it, okay? But that's not what they got planned. What they got planned is a bunch of globalist entities who are going to come in, steal all our resources, take all the profits offshore, and leave the rest of us destitute with contaminated lands via all the chemicals that they need to extract all these valuable resources, whatever it may be. Okay? And then we're going to be left with a whole bunch of nice-looking lakes, apparently, that they're going to dress up. You know? For goodness sake, get real. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Final segment. Let's just listen to the amount of places that the radiation is going to turn up. Hey, you know what? I think planet Earth is going to be able to be seen a little bit easier from space now because it'll now also glow in the dark. Thank you for space. Oh, it's the lighter side of genocide. I'm sorry if I've offended anybody, by the way. I mean, it's look, I can't tolerate or deal with the things that I discuss on the show without laughing about them. When I first got into the conspiracy theory movement sort of thing, it is really, really tough, man. It's super depressing. And I've basically just found the bad information's Achilles heel, which is just to, you know, try as hard as you can to look at the funny side of it. Sometimes you can't find one. Even the fact that you can't find a funny side is really funny, you know? It's like, you ever seen somebody who's in like a real bad way or something and, you know, everything's going wrong, you know, the rent prices are going up, food prices are going up, oil prices are going up, taxes are going up, accountability in government is going down, the police are becoming more brutal. And you say, look on the bright side. And they go, what? And you say, and you don't say anything, you know? You know, that's funny, man. It's funny how there's no bright side. Speaking of looking on the bright side, the former USSA, this article in here from Guerrilla Media, the end of an empire and the beginning of a depression is posted in by After America. Since the end of World War II, the United States has been leading military power and the leading economic power on the entire globe. The US has the largest economy in the history of the world, you know, and it's, of course, overinflated with a heck of a lot of fake monetary units called US dollars, which has been used by nearly all of the nations on Earth as a reserve currency. And the USSA military has had a physical presence in most of the countries on the planet. Today, the US military is in approximately 130 different nations, and it has a total of about 700 military bases around the world. But just like the Roman Empire, the US Empire has become overextended, and it is starting to decline. Maybe they should order some Extendovite from AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Most of our politicians believe that we can continue to police the world, quote-unquote, and project our power to every corner of the globe. But the more we meddle, the more the rest of the world hates us, and the worse our financial problems get. America is now swamped with debts, and our influence is fading, and the truth is that what we are witnessing is the end of an empire and the beginning of a depression. And, you know, perhaps the psychiatric industry can help by injecting some Prozac into the economy. Over the past decade, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have cost the USSA taxpayers the USSA tax slaves well over $1 trillion. So what have we gotten in return for $1 trillion? In Afghanistan, we haven't even found the one we supposedly went there to look for, Osama bin Laden. And it defies It defies comprehension how a man with a really bad kidney disease can hide in caves and evade the most powerful military on Earth for over a decade. He's probably hiding in a military, in some American hospital in Dubai somewhere, under the watchful keen eye of his fellow comrades in the CIA. But at least we got rid of the Taliban, right? Oh, yeah. We set up a wonderful government. For example, they recently arrested a one-legged Afghan Red Cross worker and sentenced him to death for converting to Christianity. It was so humanitarian. And fortunately, there was enough of an international outcry that Syed Musa was not hung. But in fact, that the Afghan government wanted to string him up is enough to show that we've completely failed over there. And I'm probably sure that that wasn't too bad an idea, especially if that idea happened to come from the head of Hamid Karzai, former advisor to UNIKEL, who was instrumental in negotiating with the Taliban to make a pipeline from the Caspian Sea down through Afghanistan and Pakistan. Okay? Who do you think appoints these dictators? It's the people who want to control the frickin' region. And why exactly is it any surprise that you wind up people being corrupt? And people like New Zealand populists think that it's a effing good idea to send our boys over there to die. You know? And, you know, that really just aggravates me, you know? When I see my countrymen die and I see my politicians say that they're doing it, they're dying in defense of freedom, it really, really makes me angry. Okay? This is what our society has turned into. Something that inexorably will piss Vinny off. You know, it's no surprise, really. And this is the thing that I always say all the time, is that I'm always shocked, never surprised. You can't go to war without lying. All right? You can't have wars that are started on based on truthful problems. You can't. They don't effing exist. It's always because somebody wants a bigger piece of the pie and they're willing to kill and destroy other people in order to get it. You know? Anybody who decides that that's a brilliant idea to live their life, lead their country, is a pure and simple scumbag. And they deserve to be hung, in my opinion. But just like this poor guy in Afghanistan, I doubt that they will be hung, you know, because there's no justice system that would have the gall to actually do it. So that means we have to foment the anger that will make the public stand up and get it done. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be back tomorrow.